You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 17th day of May, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. The prep tip of the day is going to be a bit longer than most of them, but I think you'll find it fascinating, and I think it's of the utmost importance. In 2006, there was a DVD released titled The Secret. It became quickly an international success, an international phenomenon, featured all over mainstream media, featured on Oprah, for example, not that that matters. It caught the attention of tens of millions of people worldwide, and still has their attention. They have a website where they sell literally hundreds of dollars worth of various books and DVDs and so forth. So I watched this DVD. And they made reference several times in there to a book, but they never gave the title of the book. I knew that the book was the foundation of everything that they were talking about, but they never gave the title. They alluded to it. And I had a pretty good idea of what that book would be. It was several years later, maybe 4 or 5 years later. I won't give the details because the details don't matter. I inadvertently came across the book. And I'm going to give you the title. The book is titled The Secret of the Ages. I say again, The Secret of the Ages. The author is Robert Collier. It was originally published in 1926, not quite a century ago, in 7 small volumes. Now available on Amazon.com for $5.75 delivered if you have Prime membership. It truly is. This book truly is The Secret of the Ages, as the title states. And I think once you read it, you'll realize it'll be one of those aha moments. Aha, this is how all this stuff works. Robert Collier was a St. Louisan. He had been studying to become a pastor when he changed his career path. You'll find Everything in the book does conform to basic Christian theology, I believe. I think you'll agree with me once you read it. You'll find that this is truly, as the title states, the secret of the ages. So I want to encourage all of you to get that book, read that book, and incorporate the principles of the book into your life. I think you'll be very glad you did. This is Friday, the first hour of Friday. We spend with my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest to become knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with emergency communications, two-way radio communications, ham radio, electronics, to the point where he's made a great career of this in this line of work and has become quite expert. And we're going to talk about emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you doing today?
No complaints, sir. How about yourself?
Pretty good, John. Real good here.
Outstanding. Well, Tom, something we talk about frequently is there's no square foot on this planet that is not subject to some kind of severe issue concerning either earthquakes or volcanoes or flooding or tornadoes or hurricanes. That place doesn't exist, does it?
No, it does not.
Okay,
right.
So with that in mind, no matter where you live, and we got people all over the planet. I got a woman in, she's from South Africa, but she's having my DVD delivered to her in Belgium. It is a worldwide audience, and every location has their own individual issues to deal with, whether it's flooding, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, whatever it might be. Tidal waves. I don't like to use the Japanese word tsunami. Did you ever hear the word tsunami more than 20 years ago, Tom?
No, I did not. That was relatively a new word, wasn't it?
Well, it's a Japanese word, but why do we start using a Japanese word for a tidal wave? I don't understand that. Regardless, no matter where you might be, there's certainly always a possibility of something that could disrupt your normal life and disrupt your normal way of communication, which for most people most of the time would be telephones, wouldn't it, Tom?
Well, telephones, landlines, and cell phones are the main communications method today. I think cell phones are even taking over with just about everything. But those could quickly go bye-bye if there was a major earthquake or large storms. Huge hurricanes, tornadoes, and so on, John, they would wipe that stuff out.
In a heartbeat. So let's say I'm living in St. Louis, and my daughter lives 2,000 miles away, which she does, and there's an emergency of some sort, and the phone lines are down. Now, if I want to talk to her, and I've already set this up, she's not going to get her ham radio license. I drove around her neighborhood looking for antennas, and I found an antenna that looked like it could easily bounce a signal off the moon, about 40 feet across. And so I looked up the gentleman and called him on the phone, made an appointment to talk to him about ham radio, and he's agreed to be the conduit, the go-between, myself and my daughter in the event of a crisis, so that I can contact him by ham radio. And my daughter knows, I introduced my daughter to him, my daughter knows to go to this gentleman's home so she can be able to talk to me. So that's a way of getting the job done without both parties having to have a ham radio license, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it is. That's one way to do it. And, you know, John, what a lot of people don't realize is many ham operators are not allowed to have antennas, large antennas in their neighborhoods. So there's a lot of stealth type of antennas going up. You can't even find these guys. So you drive past the house, you might not even know that a ham operator lives there because you see no antennas, although they may be very active on the air. They might have a wire antenna that's strung along the roof of the house. That's what I did where I used to live. And most of the antennas I've ever used, John, were just wire. They were just wires up strung through trees and so on. And I rarely put up anything that would be noticed from the street.
Right. Another way to locate ham radio operators, of course, is go to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission website. All licensed ham radio operators have their home address listed at that website, don't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the Universal Licensing System, so you could search for FCC ULS. And then there's database search pages on there. You can put down a name or a call sign, and you can find you can search by zip codes and so on. So it's pretty versatile. You can find all the hams in your area.
Absolutely. There's lots of ways to skin these cats, and we need to know all of them. Now, just because I was able to do what I did doesn't mean I don't want to encourage everybody to get their own ham radio license, to become part of a ham radio club, to get the proper equipment to both listen to what they want to listen to and talk to whoever they want to talk to. Now, I do more listening than I do talking, and I think you're at a point where you do the same thing, Tom. And whatever it takes to achieve the goal of being able to talk to people that you need to talk to, it may be a relative, maybe a close friend, a business associate, whoever it might be, and to listen to ham radio frequencies, shortwave frequencies, emergency frequencies, even the local highway repair guys, because they may be at some point in the future, but the guys that repair the highways don't have encrypted radios that I'm aware of, do they, Tom?
I don't believe they do, although many systems are going to encryption because it's, in many cases, John, it's built into the radio equipment. So it
right.
just needs to be programmed, and it's just a software patch that they have to do on the actual radio, and then they're encrypted. It does cut down on the range sometimes a little bit because it's a more complex modulation scheme, but for the most part, most everything's gone to digital, and it's P25 digital, and I think law enforcement might start going all encrypted, but there's
now,
still quite a bit in the ear on that.
Now, bring me up to speed here, Tom. Now, I know, because this is always changing. I know in the not-too-recent past, and it may still be the case, that when a radio system uses encryption, that cuts down on their ability to transmit and receive at a longer distance. Is that still the case?
Well, there's some truth to that because, like I just said, the modulation methods are different, and that might cut down on the signal-to-noise ratio and limit the range a bit, but not a whole lot. And the other thing is a lot of the And I've talked to people using these things, some cops that were using some encrypted systems, and they complain about it. They said the sound is tinny. It just doesn't sound as good. And some of the old-timers will even complain about the new digital systems because they tell me that it sounds a lot different. There's a little bit of a delay in the signal, much like a cell phone. And the fidelity just isn't there because they cut down on the bandwidth of these signals as well, John. They went to all the narrowbanding equipment just a few years ago, and all the analog stuff went to the dump or got sold or exported to other countries where they could still be used. So there was, if a ham operator was looking for repeaters or base stations, mobile units, and all the equipment that worked with it, when all of that stuff started being pulled out of service, it was literally sold for scrap prices. And there's still some of it floating around, but I think most of it's already been acquired by now or thrown in the dump.
Well, or for sale on eBay.
Yeah, that's right.
I think a fascinating story. A friend of mine, you know him, I'm not going to mention his name, but he bought on eBay a dozen handy talkies that had been used by White House security that still had everything programmed in there that the White House security uses.
That was a big
oops. what's the one word you don't want to hear in the operating room? Oops.
Yeah, that's right.
So you never know what you're going to see on eBay, do you?
No, you don't. And all the radios today are synthesized, so you can program the frequencies of operation into them. with a programming cable that plugs into a laptop or a PC, and then some of them are even front panel programmable, and those are not actually type accepted and cannot be used in the States. That's what I'm using, John, and I shared that that model number with you, and that's the Motorola GP68. That's a handy talkie or a handheld walkie-talkie, and they can be programmed right from the keypad. So there, you can put just plug the frequency in. Unfortunately, they're only one band. They're UHF or VHF, so that it's a lot of the hams like to have a dual band HT, and they won't work like that. But I use those myself, and they're analog, and they're the older wideband system. They sound a lot better. The wider the bandwidth on an FM signal, the better it sounds, the better the fidelity will be. When they start jamming it all down into a tight spot, into a tight bandwidth or a tight space, it gets kind of, the audio gets a little muffled, and it sounds a little tin. It just sounds bad. It does to me anyway.
Right. Well, moms and dads, they want to stay in touch with their adult children. They may be 18-year-old in college. They may be 40-year-olds running their life in another part of the country. But it's human nature to want to have a connection to these children, regardless of their age, and grandchildren, of course, also. And this is a way to do it. It's something we don't think about because we take for granted that when we flip that switch on the wall that the light is going to illuminate the room, that when we push a button that whatever the button we're pushing is going to fire up and do whatever electronic procedure it's supposed to do, whether it be a computer or a TV or whatever it might be, a blender. When that's gone, we're left with whatever we've got. And that means if you don't have it, well, you're not going to have it. And once the crisis is here, it's too late to say, oh, I wish I'd listened to John Moore and Tom Berryhill and went ahead and got that ham radio license. Gee, I wish I'd done that. Oh, honey, remember when John Moore used to talk about getting that ham radio license, and now we can't talk to our daughter 1,000 miles away because we didn't do what John Moore urged us to do? I don't want to see people in that situation. Do you, Tom?
No, I don't, John. And it's something that you have to plan well in advance. And I would also encourage the ham operators that are listening to get battery-powered equipment. Have HF systems. That's what I really prefer for communications is an HF system for wider range and even nationwide coverage or around the world. But even with a small, low-powered portable system, you can talk all over the region with a very powerful signal and even nationwide and keep in touch. And this would be very similar to these military-type backpack radios that you see. That type of equipment is of much interest to me, and that's what I'm really pursuing nowadays. I'm not really working with too much VHF stuff anymore, but mostly the HF-type man-pack radios.
Right. Now, HF has a long history. It really came into being in terms of worldwide use during World War II, didn't it?
Yes, it did. In fact, a lot of the communications in World War II was on the HF frequency. Some of the aeronautical transmissions were on the aircraft VHF. Some of that equipment was still relatively new in those days. Those higher frequencies weren't used as much, but a lot of it was on the shortwave bands, and a lot of it was Morse code. Even some of the aircraft transmissions were Morse code for the long-range stuff.
Right. Well, that's what got it going, and of course, many World War II vets, when they came home, they had been around these radios, they were used to them, they knew what they could do with them, and many of them became the basis for the ham radio hobby in this country, didn't they?
That's right. And the ham operators will always be around because it's a training ground for skilled communications people that can work this equipment, and the military is always interested in that. So that's how it was in the old days, and it's still that way somewhat today, and I think it will be for many years to come.
Hold that thought, Tom. We got a break. The call number is 800-313-9443. Ladies and gentlemen, this is J.R. Moore. I want to talk to you for a moment about my sponsor, GoldWealthFinancial.com, and investing in gold and silver. Gold and silver coin investing is considered a safe investment because of its physicality. For this reason, it's where many institutional investors put their money when signs of an economic downturn strike. In most stock market crashes and corrections, the prices of gold and silver rise steeply, while stocks and other exchange-traded funds plummet. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you'll find a link to goldwealthfinancial.com. You need to check them out. It's a great website, great people to work with, and they have a telephone number. That telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Check them out, do your research, and give them a call. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
back with Jim. We're back here reporting on Friday. It is Friday, the 17th of May. We're going on a cruise. You want to come? I've reserved 21 cabins on Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. It'll be a lot of fun. Join Leon Green and I on the cruise. We're leaving Miami October 12th. You need to be signed up by the 4th of July. That's only 7 weeks away, or well, about 8 weeks away. I get the details at my website for the Royal Caribbean Cruise with Leon Green and myself. If you don't have internet access, give Betsy a call. She'll mail you a very nice full-color page that gives all the details. Betsy's number is 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. This is First Hour Friday. We talk about emergency survival communications. We encourage people. We educate people. We nudge them. We help them, whatever it takes to get them to become part of this whole ham radio community. Right, Tom?
That's it, John. That's what we do every Friday, and it's a valuable skill to have if you're interested in being prepared for the future and any type of storms or Anything that could cause outages with communications, it's really, really a valuable skill too.
You're right, sir. And there's a link in my links page to the ARRL, and that website is alpharomeolima.org. alpharomeolima.org. That's your portal. That's your way to get started, to learn what you need to learn, get in contact with who you need to get in contact with, and begin acquisition of these skills, acquisition of the equipment, acquisition of making new friends that will help you and guide you along your way. Right, Tom?
That's correct, John. That's it. That's the place to go. They have all types of publications from elementary entry-level info on how to get your license, study materials, all the way up to some very, very seriously complex technical publications, some of the best out there. So it runs the whole thing, so you can get started and you can learn as you go. They have something for everybody.
Well, something, a quotation, I can't take credit for it. I don't know who came up with this, but what I frequently say, Tom, is life is two things: decisions and the consequences of those decisions. And that may sound rather simplistic, but it is true, isn't it?
It really is. You're right.
So a person can decide to become a ham radio operator, or they can decide not to. And I respect your choice. And the consequences of that choice is, what you need to live with. And our job, my job, and Tom Berryhill's job, is to let people know that there are consequences to the decision you make to become a ham radio operator or to not become a ham radio operator. We got a caller on hold here. We got Jim in New York. Good morning, Jim.
Hi. Yeah. With regard to this amateur radio, way back in the 50s, I got my novice, when I was 11 years old. And I never really did much with it. And my father was actually a master's in electrical engineering. But I let that slide, and then about 20 years ago, I got my general radio telephone operator and the super radio endorsement, which is equivalent, I guess, the general was like to the old general class. There was no code involved, but it had a lot of theory. And to make a long story short, unrelated to the licenses which I got, I built a FM low-power transmitter with an RF amplifier that got me out adjustable. It was tunable frequency, and I could adjust my amps and volts on it also to get to adjust the wattage. And I had a really finely tuned homemade antenna, and I'm here in Brooklyn, and I'm in a high location, and I was getting out at 5 watts, which I had 10 watt capability. I put it on autoplay with a CD player, a CD mixer, and I locked my door, got on my bike with a Walkman, and I rode all around the New York, my area here, and it was 5 watts I was getting from Prospect Park, about 4 miles away, across the East River to parts of FDR Drive in Manhattan. And this was not a legal set because, as you probably know, it's only 100 milliwatts, a tenth of a watt is legal on these FM low-power FM
stations. Right, right.
But I was doing it, bending the law, as they say, and I was getting out pretty far. Now, I stopped doing that also many years ago, but I still have all my equipment in a plastic bag in the corner somewhere. And I checked the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, and I am allowed to own the equipment. I'm not allowed to use it at that power, and I'm not allowed to sell it within America. But I have it all kept in a bag over there, and I'm ready to go anytime I have to use it for local emergency communications. That's all I want.
Well, good,
other people
good
can
for
help.
You, Jim.
Yes?
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, that's all I wanted
good
to say. People can
okay.
do the same thing.
Well, and we do. Okay, thank you, Jim. Well, what Jim did is what I've already done, and we can talk about that after the break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That website's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link at my website, thelibertyman.com. I know you've been investing in brass, ordnance, steel, and lead for years. It's time to move forward and also invest in gold and silver. Go to Steve's website, goldwealthfinancial.com. Download the free Rookie Mistakes Guide. If you don't have internet access, I know many of you don't, give him a call, and he'll mail you a copy of it. It's beautiful, 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Steve has put together a great team of men and women that really know their stuff, can help you learn about how to invest in gold and silver safely, economically, and do it the right way. You'll be very glad to work with Steve and his people. Thank you very much.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday the 17th of May. How about that? The year's quickly slipping away from us. Almost halfway through the year here, aren't we? My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. I know many of you, well, quite frankly, most of you, want to stay up to speed on what's going on around the planet. A friend of mine I met when I was working a homicide case, he's a former counterintelligence agent, U.S. Army counterintelligence agent. He puts together a summary every day. It's posted at my website under open source intelligence there on the right side, bright red letters, open source intelligence. You need to check that out. You really do. Quick reminder, we're going on a cruise. The details are there. It'll be a lot of fun. Give Betsy a call if you want to go on a cruise with us and you don't have internet access. She'll mail you a full-color flyer. Betsy's telephone number, that's Betsy Murphy, wife of a dear, very dear friend of mine, Ben Murphy. Her number is 636-530-9502. Last but not least, I'm expecting a fresh shipment of brand new, sealed in the bag, energy cleaners from Tom Berryhill, who's patiently listening right now, and I'm putting the pressure on him to get them done so we can get these out and help more people make America great again. We need healthy Americans that wake up pain-free in the morning after a great night's sleep like I do and like Tom does. And my friend Steve Whitman, I need to get Steve back on and tell his story again. Energy cleaners will help you sleep as good as you did as a small child, help you wake up pain-free, and I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. The details are at my website at thelibertyman.com, where you can place your order using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Of course, you're going to want a factory-made fitted mattress pad. These have a 5-year warranty on them, by the way. And check it out. Place your order there at my website, or you can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. The call number here at Republic Broadcasting is 800-313-9443. Tom, we got another caller on hold here. We had Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I've got a couple of questions. I've got my technical license and a little Yaesu set up, and I've got a system here, an off-grid system to be able to run it off of a battery, and about a 45-foot antenna. I can reach out about 30 miles from where I am right now on the 2-meter. It works pretty good, but I'm looking to go into my general. I want to get my general license. And I was going to ask Tom's opinion because, Tom, I'm on a social security disability. I have a disease similar to MS. I still try to get out and do things a little bit. But anyway, I'm wondering, on a budget, what would be your recommendation for a good, high-frequency HF radio and antenna set up?
Well, I would use a dipole antenna. That's very economical. You can buy one or you can build one. I would just make one. They're very easy to make. You would need some coaxial cable to connect that. Then as far as the radio equipment itself goes, I don't know what your budget would be, but I think for around $500, maybe even a little bit less, you could buy a pretty nice HF radio. If you want digital readouts and all that, you might have to pay a little bit more. You could look at some of the older, any of the Japanese radios would be really adequate for what you want to do, Kyle. You could try a Yaesu, ICOM, Kenwood. I've had some of each, and I've never really had a lot of trouble with any of them, although certain models had quirks here and there. They would have problems, but they always had a fix for that, and for the most part, any of those pieces of equipment would do the job. If you want to even buy older tube equipment, I know a lot of people are worried about EMP and all that, and they want to buy tube equipment. I prefer the Drake equipment, the 4 series. They elect there's several different types, but I prefer separate transmitters and receivers. You can also transceive with them. I use a Drake R4B receiver. That's one of the best receivers Drake ever made. In fact, it's one of the best receivers out there, in my opinion. And then they also had the later model R4C. I have one of those as well. A lot of people today just get everything in one box, a transceiver, and I'm still doing a lot of old school things, but it's for portable work, which I talked about earlier. You would want something compact, maybe lower power. And what I like to use out in the field, they're hard to come by. It's made by SGC Communications. They don't make this equipment anymore. They just mainly make antenna tuners and couplers. But it was called an SG2020. And that was I think I showed it to you, John. I don't remember, but it's a very small military-looking thing with I'd say it's maybe 8 inches long, the cabinet, by maybe 2.5 inches tall and about 6 inches wide. It's pretty compact. It's only 20 watts. You can adjust the power down to maybe a watt or so. You can extend the battery life that way. That's what I like to use for portable work. And then also there's, again, the Japanese equipment, and another really good radio, low power for HF work portable, would be the FT817, and they came out with a new version of that. It's 1 watt, I think it's 6 watts instead of 5 watts, and that's the FT818. So a lot of people are using that type of equipment for low power portable operation. And you can get all of the ham equipment nowadays runs on 12 volts, so you can get the regular unit that you use at home. You could also use in a car or pickup truck or portable, but they consume a lot of power and transmit. They can take 20 to 25 amps of current from a 12-volt battery. It's going to run it down pretty quick. You can turn the power down on the larger transceivers, but they still, even though you turn the power down, they still consume quite a bit of current on transmit. So when you're receiving, it's maybe about 2 amps, and then on the smaller portable radios, it's just maybe 200 or 300 milliamps, you know, 2 or 3 tenths of an amp. So if you're running on battery power, you have to pay attention to all of this. And I'll also say that everybody thinks they have to have a lot of power. Most of the work I've done over the years, 50 plus years, has been with 100 watts or less. I do have amplifiers that will go to very high levels, but well over the legal limit, as a matter of fact. But they rarely get used. I haven't used an amplifier in a long, long time. Most of the work you can do on HF can easily be done with 100 watts of power and a very simple antenna.
Kyle, I'm going to suggest that do you belong to a ham radio club, Kyle, up there in Montana?
No, I don't. I could. There is one out here, but it's like they meet really early on Saturday mornings. I'll have to try to maybe get out there and try to meet with them and talk to some guys. But
these clubs, these men and women, these clubs are always buying and selling high quality, excellent equipment back and forth to each other. You know, so you might be missing out on some good equipment that's been for sale.
Oh, that's a good idea. The other thing, Tom, I was going to ask you, if a guy could end up with one of those old tube type radios and stuff, what is the availability of the tubes like anymore?
Well, the tubes are still out there, and you can buy complete tube kits, brand new tubes, to retube a particular or specific radio on eBay. There's people that have put together kits of tubes, and the other thing that goes bad on these older pieces of equipment are the capacitors, and you can buy a capacitor kit to renovate any of these radios. You can get the transformers rewound if you need service on the transformer. You can also substitute other power supply components. But that's what you're going to normally find is the capacitors have dried out, mainly in the power supply, the electrolytic capacitors. And then there's the silver mica disease, as they call it, where the silver will grow these little whiskers, microscopic whiskers, that will short it out internally. And a lot of the really high-grade capacitors back in the day were called silver mica. And they were... they're really good at the time, very temperature stable, and used quite a bit on very sensitive circuits. And a lot of those capacitors now are failing today. So you can get new ones that are exactly the same or substitute other even better capacitors for those. And rather than try to figure it all out, make a parts list, sometimes it's best to just go to one of those vendors that sells a complete kit. They've done all the hard work of gathering it all up. You just buy from them. It's inexpensive, although a set of tubes, I think, for like the Drake receiver that I mentioned is around $150, but you can get them brand new. There may be new old stock, but they're still new tubes.
That's interesting. You know, I went to a garage sale just recently, and the guy was a ham radio operator that had died. It was an estate sale. And he had a whole box, a little box, like about, I'd say, maybe 4 inches wide and a foot long and 4 inches tall, full of tubes. And the husband that was selling all of this guy's old stuff, I said, well, what do you want for these tubes? And he said, oh, $1. And so I picked them up just in case one of these days I can get one of those old ones and it needs tubes.
There you go.
There you go, yeah. And that's anyway. Exactly what you need to do. And hang on to those tubes. And if you do buy an older, it's really nice to have an older receiver that has tubes in it. They they could be very handy if we ever did have an EMP problem.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that, John.
Kyle, thank you. We appreciate the call. The call number is 800-313-9443. One of the reasons, and this came up just a moment ago, Tom, one of the reasons to become part of a local ham radio club is the men and women in a club buy and sell high-quality used equipment back and forth between themselves on a regular basis, don't they, Tom?
Yeah, they really do, and they help each other out. If you get into a club, you'll find out that the club usually will sponsor licensing tests, so they get the license materials from the FCC, and they administer the testing right there in a relaxed atmosphere. It's not like the old days when we had to go to a federal building to take these tests. It was really intimidating, and that's all gone out the window, and it's a real relaxed atmosphere, and it's pretty easy to pass the test. They've made it much simpler. It doesn't all the equipment's plug and play today. You don't have to worry too much about calibrating it and tuning amplifiers and things like that. You just connect it up and you're on the air. So they've been able to relax the rules and regulations quite a bit, and it makes it easier to get the license. There's no more Morse code. You can learn it if you want. There's still a lot of interest in it, but it's not a requirement to get the license. A lot of people think it still is, and that's made many shy away from even trying, but they should really give it a try. I really think, John, that if anybody would, even a young person especially, they soak this stuff up like a sponge. If you just give them the study materials, if anybody would just give it a good 3 weeks, maybe a month at the most, and just study it two or three nights a week for an hour or so, I think they could pass the test, and they'd be on the air.
Well, a friend of mine, he was an RTO for Special Forces, radio telephone operator, and learning Morse code is one of the things they did. And these men, they were in a classroom learning Morse code 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for weeks. And they did learn it, Tom. I mean, they did nothing but Morse code 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for as many weeks as it took to learn the Morse code and everything else they needed to learn. But it's pretty daunting. For most people, most of the time, the thought of having to learn Morse code is very daunting, and it's certainly good to know that that's not necessary anymore, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's not necessary, although it's my preferred preferred mode of transmission. I just use it because I'm used to it. John, when I hear the dots and dashes, I hear somebody talking. I really don't even hear the beeps.
Right.
It's just like a language, and I got so used to it. But back in the day, we had to know that. In fact, I think it was Jim that called and said he had a novice license in the 50s. They started a novice in the early 50s, and that was an entry level, and that's how I started in 67. And you had to know Morse code at 5 words a minute. And once you were on the air, after a month or two, your code speed came up dramatically. That license was only good for a year, and then you had to advance to a higher license, a technician or general, or you were off the air and you couldn't renew that novice license. That's what I did, and that's what I got used to. And you can make set up some really simple communication systems when you want to use Morse code. I also read an article somewhere recently that I think they said it was the Air Force. I believe it was the Air Force, but they're starting to teach just a handful of selected people that I guess are receptive to that skill set, and they're starting to teach them Morse code again for some sort of special forces or something like that, John. I don't know all the details, but I did see an article on that. So they're still interested in it. The military is still interested in it.
I can't credit President Trump with that, but recently the Air Force placed orders for brand new F-15s, which they have not done probably more than 20 years, which flies in the face of the F-35, which, by the way, you can't fly in the rain. So how crazy is that? That this most expensive airplane we've ever built, you can't fly it in the rain. Well, another advantage to the ham radio culture is the ham fests. And a ham fest is typically a one-day event on a Saturday where men and women who have equipment to sell rent tables in a hall someplace, and then men and women who want to buy equipment show up and they can shop and buy what they need, can't they?
Yeah, that's right, John. And the Hamfest season is on us right now. It's usually the heaviest activity will be in the spring, summer, and early fall, and then it kind of drops off. There's still a lot of indoor things going on throughout the winter, but it's kind of like a flea market, and people get together and they tell stories and sell equipment, buy equipment, equipment. A lot of that goes on. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Here's our last break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That's goldwealthfinancial.com. You may not know, I didn't know until recently, that you could have gold and silver in your IRA. It's a wonderful idea. Many IRAs are subject to problems such as inflation or, in the event of an invested IRA, fluctuations in the stock market. Few people realize there's a smaller alternative, a precious metals IRA. Contact Steve at goldwealthfinancial.com. If you don't have internet access, give them a call at 480-440-7100. Be sure and ask for the Rookie Mistakes Guide. It's free. He'll mail it to you. If you don't have internet access, he'll drop a copy in the mail to you. If you do have internet access, it's a free download at his website at goldwealthfinancial.com. Great people, great service. Get in contact with my friend Steve Hunt. Thank you very much.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Friday, the 17th day of May. Well, Tom, this has been a fast hour. It's a sign of good radio, and we've had some excellent calls, got some great information out here. And I know we're having an impact because when you hear the calls, you can hear these men are listening. I get emails and phone calls that let me know that people are taking action based on hearing you and I every Friday. that they're moving ahead to get their ham radio license, and they're moving ahead to get their equipment. And every American that does this makes America just a little bit stronger, doesn't it, Tom?
That's very true, John. And like I said earlier, it's become easier to get this license. A little bit of studying, just brush up on some of the materials. You don't have to be real technically competent or anything like that, because you can learn as you go. The entry level is pretty easy to get in, and then you can, I always explain it or describe it as an apprenticeship while you're on the air. You're learning as you go, and you can get involved as you want, or just maybe stay at one level,
right,
and
right.
Because you enjoy communicating, or you might want to build equipment. You can do whatever you want. It's and all of this is encouraged.
Right. And I want to get back to what Jim from New York was talking about, his transmitter. I've done this in my community. I've set up two transmitters for use in emergencies only that transmit on the commercial FM radio band, working with the sheriff, the chiefs of police, the fire chiefs. They all know what I'm doing. They support what I'm doing. And yes, while it's illegal right now when times are normal, it's completely legal during an emergency. And that's when this equipment would be used. And I encourage everybody to do that. Send me an email, and I'll send you a link to the equipment that I'm using to do that. Puts out 20 watts. Excellent, high-quality professional equipment to transmit to your community so that the mayor, the chief of police, the sheriff can communicate with the citizens on their home radios when everything else is broken.
Yeah, John, you know, someday that equipment will be very hard to obtain. You can buy a lot of these small FM transmitters on eBay. They're rather inexpensive right now, and if anybody's interested in it, I'd say get it now while you can, and learn how to use it, how to set it up, and have it set aside. And also, one misconception is that, and Jim mentioned this, that if you operate at 100 milliwatts, that's legal, and that's not really true. The FCC, the rules and regulations specify a field strength, and I don't remember... I have a commercial license, too, and I'm supposed to know all this, but, John, I haven't messed with it in a while. But I believe it's 100 microvolts at 3 meters or something like that. They take a – you could be operating a very high-power transmitter if it's going into a dummy load and it's just radiating a short distance. But they measure the field strength, not
right.
the power.
Exactly.
Not the power.
The effective radiated strength. Right.
Well, it's called field strength, and they measure how many microvolts at a specific distance. I think it's 3 meters.
Right. Well, don't mess with these people.
Oh, no.
That's right. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, John.
Okay. We got a top hour break with Dr. Wilbert. Stay tuned.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.